The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
In the beginning of the guided meditation, I mentioned that I wanted to explore the topic of working with thoughts and thinking. And today in particular, I'd like to explore it in terms of working with it in meditation. There's a whole other area that we can explore thoughts in our daily lives. And perhaps I'll explore that topic another day. I've been away I've actually been in my own retreat. I had a 5-week self-retreat. And then next week I go off. I'm not going to be here for the next 4 weeks because I'm going to teach retreat at Spirit Rock for a month. So perhaps when I come back, that looking at thoughts in daily life would be a good topic. But today I'm going to focus on looking at thoughts. How do we practice with thoughts in meditation? I think often in our meditation, we do have a kind of a conflicted relationship with thoughts. Sometimes with the instructions that were offered, often, especially early on in meditation, and if we're using a kind of an anchor for the attention like the breath, often we are instructed to, when we notice thoughts, often I've heard teachers give the instructions, and I sometimes even give the instruction, let go of the thoughts and come back to the breath. And so that gives the idea that we're trying to let go of thinking in our meditation. And in some kinds of meditation, concentration practice in particular, that is the direction we do in concentration practice, pick some experience like the breath to put our attention on. And then when we notice thinking, or anything else for that matter, notice hearing or some other body sensation that pulls the attention, unless it's really strong and kind of, grabbing the attention, we tend to try to just, okay, yep, that's happening, but my focus is going to be on the breath. And so often we do that, especially if we're cultivating a concentration practice. But in mindfulness practice, as I mentioned in the guided meditation, that we're exploring the being aware of our humanness, being aware of the fullness of our experience, the totality of our experience. In mindfulness practice, that's really the exploration, is being aware of everything that goes on in our minds and bodies, and not tuning things out. And so this field of looking at thoughts it's a huge area, because it does tend to be a place where we get pulled off into getting lost, losing touch with being present in the present moment. We tend to, the way thoughts work often is that we have such a habit in our lives, from our lives, of kind of getting absorbed in our thoughts, following along our thoughts, believing that our thoughts are primary, that the thoughts are kind of the most important thing going on in our minds. And that, our thoughts often too are how we've navigated our lives, how we've decided, how we've worked with what's come up in our lives. And we feel like, well, here's an issue that's come up in my life. I have to think my way through it. I have to think my way out of it. I have to figure out the answer by thinking about it. And that's one way that our system can explore our experience, is through thinking. So it's kind of a human capacity that we have, that we think, we think about what's happened, we think about what might happen, and we can kind of weigh options through thoughts. And so this is one way that we have as human beings to relate to experience. And yet it has been so practiced in our lives as being the main way, in fact, often I think as we think the only way, that we're kind of missing a whole range of ways that we can get information, ways that we can explore our experience, that expand. It's kind of like expanding the number of channels that we're getting information from. There's this all this discussion these days in the news or in the world in this country in particular about people basically tuning to particular channels to get information from particular channels that they agree with, And, you know, it kind of, and instead of opening to a broader perspective, opening to, well, there's information here and here and here and here, we tend to kind of narrow down where we get our information from. And this has created a lot of conflict in our culture. And I think similarly in our experience, we tend to narrow down where we're getting our information from. And our thoughts, our you know, the way we think about things has been conditioned by our culture, by our experience. And so it's kind of a narrow channel. And there's a lot more information out there if we are interested in what else is going on in our human experience. And so while thoughts are natural, you know, our mind produces thoughts, much as, you know, our mind produces thoughts and our mind experiences thoughts. You know, much as our eyes see sights, our ears see sounds, you know, hear sounds, our tongue tastes flavors, you know, our mind experiences thoughts and emotions. It's just natural. It's part of our human experience. And yet there has been this emphasis on kind of the content of our thoughts, on kind of focusing on the content of our thoughts and getting lost in that. And so the edge I'd really like to touch on today is the one I mentioned in the guided meditation, is this place where we notice that we're thinking. Because, you know, as we think, as thoughts arise in our mind, it has an impact on us. Thoughts are really powerful conditioners of our experience. And so as we notice that, as we notice the thought arising in our mind, you know, how does that affect us? How does it affect us? And so it's kind of like opening the channels to receive, you know, physical experience, emotional experience. When there's a thought, often there's physical and emotional components with that thought. And so to widen the information, we know we're thinking, that's awareness, and then rather than being kind of absorbed and lost in the thought, kind of pulled into thought and not aware that we're thinking, when we can become aware, oh, I'm thinking right now, thinking is happening, we may be able to open the channels. How is this affecting me? How is this affecting body? How is this affecting my mind? And so this key, you know, this key, understanding the difference, one of the keys in exploring thoughts in our meditation is understanding the difference between being lost in thought, and being aware that we're thinking. Let's just pause for a moment. There's thoughts. How's it affecting you? It's okay, whatever's there. This is humanness. This is human experience. Whatever's happening right in this moment. So not focusing on the thoughts themselves, but how you are in this moment, having had those thoughts. Maybe particularly feeling heart, stomach. Those are areas where there's a lot of stuff happening. So understanding the difference between being lost in thought and waking up to knowing thinking is happening. And why is that so important? I think the one of the main things is that when we're lost in thought, when our minds are kind of pulled into, oh, this is what's happening, this is what I did, and this is what I should have done, and this is like, oh my gosh, I've got to do these things to make sure these people know this and that. It's like, whew, the mind gets pulled out into that, and it's really easy when the mind is lost in thought for there to be a component of our subconscious tendencies, like I'd say, our habits, our patterns, our conditioning, the ways that we have tended to be in relationship to that particular thought, those tend to come into play when we're not aware. Now, they may also come into play when we are aware, but when we're aware that, oh, there's this thought, and wow, there's this, like, it's like, It's like this whole like history came into to being with that thought too. Like, you know, it not only is something that's happening right now, but it's like connected to what happened on the playground when I was five. And all the feelings that are associated with that, it's like, we've picked up this history. And so when we are aware of it, we can recognize, oh, wow, it's not just about this that's happening now. It's like, whew, there's a whole bunch of other things going on too. And maybe the awareness of it can begin to support us in not just reconditioning those same patterns. It's a slow process, I'd say. You know, it's a journey. You know, simply becoming aware of thoughts in the present moment and noticing, wow, I've got this baggage. You know, you might think, oh, I've got this baggage. That's not relevant. Why don't I just let that go? Our minds don't quite work that way. There's a stickiness, and that conditioning has a kind of a stickiness to it, and so. You know, we may not be able to just simply say to our minds, oh, that's not useful, put it down. So this is a journey. It's a noticing of what happens. And so as we can begin to widen the channels that we're taking in information of when we recognize that we're thinking, we begin to see a whole host of stuff. Not only physical experiences in the present moment, but perhaps a recognition of how this is connected to our conditioning. So one of the things I want to do right now with you is just to point out to you just how powerful thoughts are. So we'll just do a little like short exercise here. Just a little bit of a settling in the meditation. So just, you know, for a minute or two, we'll just connect with experience in the present moment, the breath, if that's what works for you. Just relaxing the body. And seeing if the mind can relax a little bit. Receiving just this being in this moment, this body. How you are in this moment, just being aware of how you are in this moment. And what I'm going to do is kind of drop some words into your meditation. And as I drop these words in, just notice how the system responds. Notice what happens to you. I'll pick three or four words over the course of the next couple minutes. Struggle. Confusion. Calm. Ease. Delight. So I'm curious if a few of you would be willing to share what happened when I dropped in those words. What happened in your experience? Did you notice? First of all, how many of you noticed a shift with the words? Pretty universal, yeah. So any of you willing to share what you noticed as a shift? Yeah. Ethan? Ethan, yeah.
Yeah, I guess the first couple words, I sort of noticed, like, there was a lot of tension and reactivity, like, on, like, a physical, somatic, sort of, like, physiological level. I felt, like, levels of anxiety, tension, stress arising, but at the same time, it was buffered a little bit by, like, some of my ideas about the fact that, like, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing to have confusion or like the just like the normalization of that. But I feel like I was sort of stuck in that intellectual layer and not always aware of like the physical layer. So I guess that's kind of what happens sometimes. Like I feel stress and then like I just intellectualize. Mm-hmm.
And that's also a piece that can be useful in our practice. I mean, what you described was a little bit of wisdom. You know, it's kind of like the normalization. It's okay. You know, that's actually, we don't have to not use thoughts in our practice. You know, our mind is designed to use thoughts, and we can use thoughts skillfully. So that's a skillful use of thought because it can condition or tune how we are. And so, you know, those last three words I offered, you know, that's a kind of also a way into a different experience. So what happened with those?
Yeah, I definitely felt myself like just relaxing and just feeling more calm and more at ease, which was good. I mean, there definitely is like, it's pretty powerful just how powerful words can be, you know, and intentions and all that stuff. Just like just hearing a talk on kindness, I feel so, like there's a softening. I don't even have to be aware. It's just like there's like unconscious processing, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, that's part of the reason we offer Dharma talks. Yeah, great. Anybody else willing to share? Yeah, Bill. Okay.
With struggle, I immediately went to a couple of instances of struggle, including a dream.
So it kind of connected to thoughts that were about struggle.
Uh-huh. Yes, yeah. Confusion, I don't know if I was resisting at that point, but that didn't seem to do anything
okay,
for me. And then calm was really nice. I definitely relaxed. And the upbeat word, delight, I felt happy. I wasn't. Yeah. I don't know if there's. I didn't do much else with the words than that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That sounds. Yeah. Thank you. Anybody else? Maybe one more. Yeah. Grace? Yeah.
I noticed with the first few words, my breath automatically got shortened and more tense. I wasn't thinking about the words, but it just reacted in my breathing.
Kind of very visceral response, almost.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then the other words, my breathing just went deep and normal. Yeah, so immediate breath reaction.
Yeah, thank you for sharing your experiences. You know, this is one of the keys I want to bring out here is just, you all pointed out that you all kind of responded that it did have an effect. And, you know, I offered five words and you noticed responses. Our minds are offering like a constant stream of words. And what I'd like to propose is that often we're in that stream of words and not aware of the effect it has on us. And so that's the place I'd really like to touch into today. You know, so we're more lost in the world of the thoughts, and it's affecting us, whether we feel it or not. That stream of thinking is affecting us. And this is a great exploration in daily life. You know, I will hopefully have a chance to talk about that in a few weeks. But I really think that the practice around recognizing, oh, thinking is happening, how's it affecting me? We can tune that, we can explore it, we can practice it, practice recognizing it in our sitting meditation. So that we're not just always saying, oh, thinking, come back to the breath, thinking, you know, come back to something else, but exploring that edge, exploring that edge. So I'm curious if any of you had any experiences in the guided meditation when I mentioned that. Was there anything that happened in the guided meditation that anybody's willing to share around noticing some thoughts and how they affect you? Was that available? You know, I just kind of offered it as a suggestion, so... Not sure if anybody really. No, okay.
It seemed like all the thoughts, regardless of what they were, sent my head and neck out and added to the tension in my jaw, neck, and shoulder.
So potentially there's a kind of a habit in the mind, in the body, almost connected to thinking. You know, it's almost like, oh, what am I,
right?
What am I thinking about? And you know, like almost the impulse towards the thinking. And so it would be interesting to explore. You know, that probably happens as a habit when you're more lost in thought, and to explore when the possibility of not being lost in thought but aware.
The awareness softens everything.
Yes. Yeah.
I would say that, you know, there's dense thought that's like talking in my head. Mm-hmm. And then there, it seems like there's just layers and layers. And so it's really hard to be aware of the dense thought, be aware at the same time that the dense thought is going on. I can be aware that it was happening and wake up to it. And then, but there's also many other layers of thought. Like there's just ripples of things that go by, or the wonderings and reflections, kind of self-reflective thought that's kind of soft, and then there's images that come up, and then so that it, in a way, as it feels kind of like a deepening, as there's a deepening, these other kind of, but they're not that chatter.
Yeah.
That. Yeah. So I'm curious about those.
And well, that's those, the what, next topic I wanted to talk about, that the different kind of thoughts and how to work with some of the different kinds of thoughts. So you pointed out that there just seem to be different kinds of thoughts, and that's another important piece that I'll just point to right now, the active thinking, I call it. You called it dense thinking, but the kind of active thinking where the mind is kind of, you know, really bought into, this is important to think about. I need to think about this. Whether we're kind of conscious of it or not, sometimes there's that active component to thinking, often experienced as words in the mind, talking to yourself or somebody else talking to you. So there's that level of thought, which I think is the grossest level of thought, the most obvious level of thought. And then below that, there are many, many layers of thought. There's kind of more of a, well, actually there's this active thought, and then there's kind of a nonverbal active thought too, which is interesting. You can kind of start to notice that. I'm not going to go into detail in all of these, but just name some of the ones. And then there's a kind of, the images are possible. Then there are thoughts that kind of flit by that are more thoughts than thinking. You know, it's just like a thought has arisen and it's just like, oh yeah, you know, and it's easy to just let go of. So it's not so active, but it's just like pops in and pops out when we're aware of it. But those thoughts that pop in, sometimes when we're not consciously mindful, they can be the seed from which we poof, launch. But when we are aware, sometimes some of those thoughts can just drift in and out. And then the image level, the almost more of a feeling level, and then there's another layer of thinking that is verbalized in the mind that's different than it's like different, it's not so active about what do I have to do, but it's more like just a description of what I am doing. That's like a constant stream of narration. This is where I am. This is what I'm doing. This is who I am. I'm going through this door. I'm turning on the light. I'm, you know, and it's that level of thought is probably happening a lot. It's happening all the time. In my own experience, I didn't really see it until I started meditating, and that active level of thought went away. And so it shows a kind of a deepening of the mindfulness, that it can see some of these deeper levels of thought. And so this is something that often happens as we practice mindfulness more and more, especially on retreat. This can happen that, you know, we start out and that kind of that grosser level of thinking falls away and it feels more quiet, but then we pay attention and some of these subtler levels get more obvious. And if we're not aware that actually the mindfulness is just revealing these subtler levels of thought, we may think, wow, I'm thinking more than I used to. You know, it's like there's way more thinking going on than I'm used to here. But it's more of a subtler level of thought that is becoming obvious. And so that's an important thing to understand about our meditation, recognizing these different kinds of thoughts. And actually, when we start to see, for instance, images in our meditation, when we notice images, when we notice this kind of narration kind of thought, or we notice these flitting thoughts, that means the mindfulness is getting stronger, not weaker. So that's something that for me was like a huge wake up. It was like, wow, I don't have to judge myself for thinking here. This is actually the mindfulness is getting stronger in many cases. So I want to talk a little bit about a couple of these kinds of thinking, and I'll just term them two right now. One, active thinking, and the other, kind of drifting thinking. The active thinking is the thinking where we're really engaged. And drifting thinking often happens in our mindfulness practice. And this is more like the images or just like the mind kind of, it almost just feels like the mind is floating. Maybe be dreamlike thinking or just kind of like this thing and that thing. It's just almost like just wandering but without an emotional charge. So that, to me, these are kind of two areas that are important to talk about in terms of working with thinking. So the first kind is probably the one to start with, is active thinking. And again, this active thinking is really affecting us. The drifting thinking also affects us, actually. You know, the kind of drifting kind of thinking, we might just like, you know, our mind might be thinking about, oh, that friend and that friend. While I was meditating this time, images from the Olympics were arising in my mind, and mind kind of drifting into thinking about that person and that person that I've seen competing. And I'm noticing that, it's like, oh, here, follow my own instructions. how's this affecting me? And realizing that there's, you know, flavors of the Brahmaviharas coming up as the mind is drifting in remembering, you know, Chloe Kim winning the half pipe, you know, Mudita coming up and the French ice dancers, the wardrobe malfunction, you know, compassion coming up. So just the drifting was connected to some more wholesomeness. You know, it was connected to wholesomeness, and when I could be aware of that wholesomeness, the mind was present with those thoughts. So that's another piece I want to really point to, is that wandering mind, drifting mind, thinking in meditation is not always heading us towards unwholesomeness. Sometimes our mind drifts into love and compassion and joy. So that's just another thing to be aware of around thinking. But this active thinking very often is connected with habits, patterns around greed, aversion, and delusion. Our habitual tendencies to kind of be worried about things or get angry about things or be wanting to figure things out or wanting to plan how I'm going to get the next great thing in my life. You know, they can tend to be caught up around our emotional habits and patterns. And so in working with active thinking, there's some kind of basic things to talk about. One, the first one is just simply recognizing, you know, kind of step back a little bit from the content. And this is an important piece in our guided meditation, to not have a sense of having the content be an enemy or something we want to dismiss, but also maybe taking a little bit of a step back from the content. And one of the ways to do that is to look at kind of the category of thinking that's happening and acknowledging that, okay, well, there's thinking happening. That's one category, but, you know, sometimes it can also help to acknowledge, okay, well, it's arguing or it's remembering or it's planning or it's judging or it's fantasizing. So sometimes we can kind of acknowledge a kind of category of thought. And we might begin to see in doing that that there's some particular categories of thought that are more predominant than others. So for me, you know, the controlling thoughts, that's a really high percentage category. How do I fix this? How do I make sure this is going to work? So knowing that, you know, that points to a deeper kind of conditioning and a deeper kind of emotional pattern around wanting to control. And so noticing the thoughts then, you know, it helps us to recognize patterns that we're caught in and begin to be curious about those patterns. So again, not thinking about, oh, controlling thoughts are happening. Oh, let me just come back to the breath. That actually would be another controlling thought. Let me control these controlling thoughts by not thinking about them and controlling the breath. You know, so that's almost just reinforcing that same pattern. But instead, being curious, oh, those controlling thoughts have happened. What does it feel like to want to control? So that we're kind of at that edge of you know, not trying to push the thoughts away. It's one of the ways I sometimes say it is, okay, the thinking has been happening, and we're waking up into thinking. You know, that at some point we've probably been lost in thinking. We may have been lost in thinking when those thoughts are really sticky and active. Those dense thoughts, as you use that word, it is hard to know that we're thinking while we're thinking. But at some point in the process, we will notice, oh, here's a moment, I know that I'm thinking. And instead of having judgment about it, or kind of a sense of, you know, oh, I shouldn't be thinking, it's more like, oh, this is a pointer to something that's like really wanting to be known. Sometimes our thoughts are like our deeper sense of emotions and what's going on, kind of they're sending up flares saying, hey, I'm here, pay attention to me. And so, you know, if we just pay attention to the thoughts and don't connect with the underlying pattern or constriction or holding or whatever's there, a fear, a confusion, an anxiety, all of that kind of complex that can underlie our difficult emotions. If we don't pay attention to that, those that kind of underlying complex is going to keep kind of producing those thoughts. So that's one of the ways, that's one of the things to notice about thoughts actually is this cycle, especially with active thoughts. There's almost always some kind of an emotional engine that's driving those active thoughts. So the emotions will lead to thoughts, and if the emotion is not touched, acknowledged, open to, often that emotion will just keep the engine going. It'll just keep generating thoughts. And so as we notice an active, strong thought, touching into, oh, how is this body having been thinking? What emotions are here, having been thinking? So this is, it's like, instead of just trying to redirect and say, oh, thinking, let me come over here, it's more like, oh, thinking's happening, what's here? It's more like just kind of landing in what's already here, opening to the feelings in the body, opening to what the emotions are. So this connection of thoughts to emotion and body sensation is really an important exploration for us. And then there's also recognizing, too, that not only do our emotions create thoughts, but also our thoughts can create feelings and emotions. And that was the exercise that we did when I dropped those words in. You know, it's like, I put words into your mind, and it created stuff. You know, it created feelings. It potentially created emotions. And so this thought, emotion, thought cycle, it's a chain. And so if we have some kind of some kind of thought, or we hear something on the radio, you know, somebody else puts content into our minds. We hear something on the radio, or we read something in the news. There's content going into our mind. If we're not aware how that affects us, that can generate emotions, which then generates thoughts, other thoughts. And so this thought, emotion, thought cycle is really interesting to be attentive to. And this is what I would call an exploration of the process of thinking. How are thoughts conditioned by emotions? How do emotions condition thoughts? How does body sensation condition thoughts? How do thoughts condition body sensation? So this is an exploration of the process nature, the conditioned nature of thinking. I'm going to stop right there and just see, is there any questions or thoughts about that part?
I was interestingly just reading a technique of when you have a thought, when you realize that you're in meditation and practice and you realize that a thought is coming, the technique was to trace that thought back to its how it arose, to its origination, and then have the recognition that, oh, there was this emotion that brought it up. So I was practicing that, and it was very interesting, and oh yeah, I thought that because I feel inadequate, and that's why I start worrying about that. So my question is, does that recognition and awareness help to prevent it in the future? Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, what I would say is that technique, which I've also done and been, I mean, actually when I was a kid, I used to do this. This was one of my favorite games to play while we drove. You know, all my parents would drive, you know, spend hours in the car, and I just decide to play that game. I would say to myself, okay, I'm not going to think about my thoughts right now, but then at some point I would kind of like, my game was to break into the stream of my thoughts. At some point, I'd like just let myself forget about thinking for a little while. 5 minutes later, it's like, okay, what am I thinking right now? And then I would trace back, you know, well, that came from that, and that came from that, and that came from that. And almost always I could trace it back to something I'd seen out the window. And I thought that was so cool that I could do that. You know, I could see, and it was like following it back. And so it is something that our minds can do, and it can be a technique. I also did explore it a little bit in my meditation, recognizing, oh, this thought, and then, oh, and what was before that, and what was before that, and what was before that. Now, that's something that's, if we can remember, it's using thought. It's like reflecting. It's a reflective practice to do that. To think back. It's like, okay, well, this happened, and then before that, that was happening, and before that, that was happening. And sometimes we can actually see the place where we kind of wandered out from the beginning. So that's using reflection, that's using thought to help us understand essentially that our minds are associative, you know, that it has this associative nature. I don't usually recommend that people do this much, partly because we can use our thoughts. It's like, oh, well, this is what's happening. And then we think about that rather than exploring, well, do I remember actually what happened before that? rather than reflecting back on what actually happens, we start thinking about it, and our like we think about our psychology. We think, well, it makes sense. You know, the reason this is going on in my mind right now is because, well, you know, all of that stuff on the playground when I was a kid. You know, and I had an experience of this in Burma. I was noticing quite a bit of depression and depressed thoughts, and I saw that sometimes it was arising when I saw two people walking together. And I was not walking with somebody, you know, and my mind recognized, well, I have this all history of you know, being excluded from social interactions. So maybe that's a piece of this. But I didn't see that. That was a theory. And so there's a danger in some ways in going to theory, because that's all based on our own kind of intellectual kind of understanding and our views about ourselves, and there's a lot of room for delusion in that. And actually what happened ultimately as I began to explore this in Burma, it's like I saw that theory. It's like, well, okay, we'll set that theory to the side. I'm not going to dismiss that it's possible that it's connected somehow to all of the times I felt so excluded, but I'm going to look at what's actually going on here. You know, what's actually happening? And as I explored it, it was actually a whole different pattern at work. And so if I had gone with that theory, I would have missed what was actually happening. And so that's where I really want to encourage you to expand, you know, what's happening now. Look at what's happening now, because what I've seen over and over again in my practice is that our minds can kind of look back, and there can be some value to that at times. And yet what's happening right in this moment, what we are aware of right in this moment, this is arising, and this is kind of being the intention towards this is what's happening. What's happening in this moment is really all we need to move in the direction of letting go and freedom, ultimately. And yet there are tools that can support us to land in the present moment. And so that's something that I would say, if you're finding it difficult to really land in the present moment, about, okay, so here's what's happening, and you see, wow, what's happening is just like so charged that it's hard to stay present for this. Then bringing in thoughts, what Ethan was talking about, normalizing or reflecting on, okay, well, let's just see, you know, what's going on, and I know I have this history, so maybe that can kind of help me settle and relax a little bit. So I encourage the use of this reflective kind of practice more when it's challenging to be here for what's here. But that opening the channel and exploring, well, what's actually here right now is, it takes a lot of courage to do that. And it also really begins to point out to us how our minds are working real time. And that exposes to us the ways that we kind of feel like we have to want to control this right now. The only thing that's happening ever is what's happening right now. This is it. All this stuff has happened in the past. We can't go back and change our responses to that. There's all this stuff to come in the future. We cannot choose our choices for that now. All that we have is this moment and how we respond to this moment and knowing what's happening in this moment and having some capacity to choose wisely based on what's here is where our practice really supports the unfolding of our future, because different choices now are what shift those patterns, shift that reactivity. And I also don't want to dismiss, or as I'm going to reemphasize this, I don't want to dismiss the use of reflective practices, because they're so helpful for us at times. So I want to take a couple minutes to talk about the drifting kind of thinking too. So often, as I said, with the drifting thinking, it's It's not so charged. Sometimes when we wake up into drifting thinking, sometimes it's very vivid and it's kind of surprising. You know, it's like, wow, I was just, you know, thinking about these things, or, you know, it's like there was this image of all this stuff. It's almost like a movie going in my mind. But what was going on in that movie was people were there who I have no idea who they are, and they're talking about something I know nothing about. It's like, where did that come from? You know, so it's not particularly emotionally charged, but it's like, what is this? What's going on here? What I'd like to point to here is that it's not important to figure out why that particular thing came up. But it may be useful to connect with any emotions that are present based on what came up. So, you know, there's something. Sometimes our minds are creating a scenario based on a deeper kind of emotional sense. And so, again, you know, checking into the emotions that are there. What's the feeling that's associated with this? Not to just say, well, that's useless, you know, come back to the breath. But again, opening to the possibility that there may be something to open to. More often I've seen, as I mentioned earlier, in the drifting kind of thinking, the mind will, especially the more and more I practice, the mind tends to drift towards wholesomeness. It drifts towards ease and letting go, and it drifts towards love and compassion. And so if I have this kind of, you know, relationship where it's like, oh, drifting's happening, stop that, come back to this, it's like I'm missing this, like, deepening that the mind is kind of finding its way towards. Sometimes I find the drifting the drifting mind is sometimes the mind trying to find its way to a more settled place. And we tend to kind of get lost because we're not used to being in that place with presence. And so this is a great exploration. When we notice the drifting, it's like we wake up to it at some point. You know, we wake up to it. Often I find when there's been a drifting kind of experience, when I wake up in that drifting experience, there's more ease, more relaxation in the experience. More experience in the body and mind. And so if I can open to that, and it often has a more diffuse or vague quality to it, it's not like precise, it's not like I say, oh, this is the emotion that's happening. It's more like, ooh, well, the body feels kind of relaxed and easeful. And so it feels like a broader or more vague experience. So this is another hallmark, I think, of a deepening in the meditation, is that the mind tends to move at times, away from precision of knowing, oh, this is what's happening, this sound, this sight, this thought, and more to a more vague, kind of broad, hazy experience. The mind has the capacity to know and experience not only precise, oh, this sensation, but more of a sense of the gestalt of this is a relaxed experience, or this is a fuzzy experience. It's kind of like humidity. You can know a drop of water on your skin if somebody, you know, or a drop of grapefruit juice if somebody, you know, takes a bite of grapefruit and it spurts. You know, it's like you can feel that. It's very precise. You know, a drop of water on your skin, you can feel that. But we also know, maybe without knowing precisely what the sensation is, when we step outside into humid weather, it's more of a whole body sense of taking in that humidity. And the mind can also know emotional experience and just a whole host of experiences that are more fuzzy and vague. Sleepiness is like this. Sometimes confusion is like this, but also calm, ease, peace, relaxation of mind is like this. And so in waking up to that drifting thinking, sometimes we can just be curious, kind of like, well, what's this? And not try to figure out like the preciseness of what it is, but be more willing to guide, be in a vagueness. Oh, vague experience is happening. Or not sure, but I'm aware. I know I'm aware. So this is an opportunity in the drifting thinking to deepen our capacity of being aware of many different kinds of experiences. And then there is also the more precise kind of awareness of those drifting thoughts, where we can notice kind of the modality, I can call it the modality of those thoughts, like how we are thinking those thoughts. That's another part of the process of thinking, which is how do those thoughts appear in our minds? The modality of thoughts will be associated with some kind of sense experience mostly. In my experience, that's true. Often it's as if we're talking. It's kind of a sub-vocalization. You know, that there's this kind of sense of, and I think actually with some of our more active thoughts, I understand that something in our vocal cords actually does get, you know, engaged. So there's a kind of a sub-vocalization place. And so there's that aspect. It's like as if I'm talking to myself, as if somebody else is talking to me. So coming in through the hearing modality, you know, it's like we can recognize, oh, it's like my mother's talking to me. you know, it's like this thought. It's like it's so. Not only does it sound like I'm hearing, but it's a particular voice, and I recognize that voice. Or maybe it just sounds like a radio announcer voice. You know, just some disembodied. You know, this is what you're going to do right now. You know, so that's another possibility coming through the sense door of hearing, or through the sense door of seeing. Often these drifting thoughts can have the modality of images. So seeing can be the experience. We can also have thoughts as if we were physically active, doing something. So a kinesthetic form of thinking. I actually had this experience in this meditation a little bit. I used to be an ice skater. You know, I used to do that. And so this seeing the ice skating on the Olympics, in my meditation today, there was a little bit of that kinesthetic sense in thinking of experiencing it through almost a physical sense of doing it in the mind. That's a kind of that's a kind of thinking too. And so the thinking can come in these different modalities. And so recognizing rather than the content of the thought, especially when it's not charged. You know, when it's charged, probably a little more connection with the content and the emotion under it is a more primary or direct way to meet what's happening. But when there's this drifting thought, and sometimes we can check in, oh, well, I don't feel much emotion here, then a way sometimes to connect with the thought in the present moment is to be curious about, well, what's the modality? And I would use for myself, I would use kind of an acknowledgement of the sense door, it felt like, the thought was coming through. So I would just kind of acknowledge seeing is happening or hearing is happening, knowing it was a thought and not true seeing or not true hearing, but just recognizing that as how the thinking was happening. So that's another way that we can work with thoughts in our meditation. But it's time to stop. So mostly I want to really, really emphasize and reconnect with this edge around recognizing what is the impact that thoughts have on your experience. Thank you for your attention and your participation. Thanks.